Alrighty, hello church. Today we are looking at Ezekiel chapter 10 and 11. Ezekiel is a very interesting book because it's filled with a lot of imagery. There are some terms, there are some words that we might not be familiar with, there are some beings that we might not know. This is one of the few instances where it talks about a cherubim, which is a type of angel. And so there's a lot of interesting descriptions in the book of Ezekiel that really really shape sort of our understanding of prophetic visions and about angels and about even God and his actions. So there's a lot of interesting details. But again, today we're focusing on chapters 10 and 11. If you view the questions that were posted in advance, a lot of the questions or the questions that I wrote, it's really focusing on what are some things, or it's really focusing on things about God specifically. And the first question I ask is about judgment. It's really about sort of what the leaders have done that incurred a sort of judgment. It's about the intentions of the leaders. It's about their motivations. It's about why they did what they did. And I think that's really important for us to think about. I think that's really important for us to consider. A lot of times in modern life, as we sort of go about our days, there's a lot of times where we might encounter situations that are maybe ethically ambiguous or ethically unclear. Maybe there are some things that we want to do or we think we ought to do, and it might not necessarily be the best decision. And I think this is a fairly normal human experience. This is a normal thing that we go through as people because we are often left with a burden of choice. And a lot of these people, a lot of the leadership, a lot of the top folks at Jerusalem, they were also faced with very similar choices just like we were. And what's really interesting is, you know, you can't help but wonder, do they think about what's right and wrong? Do they think about the decisions that they make? Did they think about their intentions? Or did they simply do things just because they were always used to doing something? Or did they simply do things just because they thought it was right and they didn't really consult God? And we know that in the Old Testament, there were a lot of these instances where leaders thought, okay, I know what's best and I'm going to make a decision. And sometimes they leave God out of these important moments. And, you know, again, with Ezekiel, it's so graphic. You know, there's so many things that have been done wrong. There's so many a tragic even moment. I look at verse 5 and 6. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came unto me, and he told me to say, this is what the Lord says. This is what you are saying, you leaders in Israel, but I know what is going through your mind. You have killed many people in the city and filled its streets with the dead. You know, I think this reveals that no matter how hard we try, no matter how sneaky or how smart we think we are in a certain moment, the reality is that the Lord still knows what's going on in our mind. The Lord knows what we struggle with. The Lord sees all things. And, you know, what these leaders in Jerusalem failed to understand is that the Lord knew these things, and yet he still provided a way for them to come back to him. The Lord knew all these things, and yet he still embraced Jerusalem as his people, as his chosen nation, as his chosen group. And this is also exactly why question two is so important, because the Lord has chosen this group, because God has chosen these people, idolatry is a very big problem. We see this all throughout Scripture. We see this all throughout the Old Testament, especially. Every time there's a moment of idolatry, the Lord becomes very, very angry. That's why even in the New Testament, you know, there's a lot of instances where Jesus teaches how you shouldn't attribute things of the Spirit to the enemy, to the devil, or to the demonic forces. Every time we engage in idolatry in any way, shape, or form, idolatry doesn't just have to be about worshiping a physical idol. It can be other things. Right? It can be our love of comfort, our love of money, our love of laziness, or even our love of ourselves. But every time we engage in idolatry, what happens is that we are filling this void that we have in our hearts and our souls. We're filling this void, a void that only God can fill. We're filling it with aspects of the world. And I think that's precisely what a lot of these leaders have been doing. A lot of these leaders in Jerusalem were doing. That's why the Bible is so graphic when it talks about idolatry. Even in verse 18 in chapter 11, it says, "They will return to it and remove all its vile images and detestable idols." Vile images and detestable idols. And brothers and sisters, so it's very important for us to really think about our lives. It's really important for us to reflect introspectively. It's very important for us to think about what are some things in my life, what are some things in the lives of my son or my daughters, what are the things in the lives of my family that could be idolatrous, and will we remove it? Will we keep it in our hearts, or will we decide to do something about it? In chapter 11, verse 19, it says, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God." You know, even here as sort of, not forceful, that's not really the right word, but as strong as this verse is, you know, what this shows is that God will still do what he can. God will still do all within his power to make sure that his people go in the right way. God will do everything to make sure that we get on the right path. Even though we still have the choice to be on the right path or to sin or whatever the case is, God will still help us every single day in our journey. He is still helping us even today. Even as we sin against him, even as we struggle with idolatry or anything else for that matter, God will still provide a path for us to be able to overcome sin and temptation and idolatry and all these other things as well. And so, church, my hope for us today as we hear this rather short devotional, my hope is that we would be able to reflect on some things in our lives that might be great, but that might also not be too good. And as we recognize and see those things, my hope and prayer is that we will be able to give these things to God so that he will be able to speak truth into our lives. So with that being said, let me just pray quickly. Father, Lord, I thank you for this time. Lord, I pray for the listeners here today, that for all of us, that we would be able to entrust you with all things, that we would be able to put our faith and trust in you, that we would be able to be real with ourselves and see what possibly could be idolatrous or even sinful, so that we may be able to confess these things and deal with these things in your presence, God. So, Lord, I pray for strength and wisdom. God, I thank you, and I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.